Hello and welcome back to the Catch the Blitz show, season 3, episode 4. I'm Thomas Bogarty, as always, joined by Christian and Rashi. Cat, what's going on today?
Doing great, Pac. I'm doing great. We're both sitting at 2-0 here as we got our eyes set on week number 3.
Yeah, I mean, can't really complain when, I mean, the Dolphins are looking real good. That Cowboys defense looks like maybe the best unit in the league. I mean, and even the offense was rolling. CeeDee Lamb had his way with what was supposed to be one of the best secondaries in the NFL in the New York Jets. But yeah, it's been a great season so far. Last week was the overreaction episode, right? We said that word so many times. We've now had another week, a bit more of a sample size to digest some of our opinions, to either panic or not panic with some teams, to either confirm or deny some of our previous assumptions. How was week 2 for you?
I enjoyed it. You know, it's sort of, you never want to take too much of what you see from on the face value, at least when it comes to like the first couple of weeks. But I mean, which we'll get onto a little later in the show, but there are a few teams that sort of stand out to me when I'm like, okay, I don't want to panic too much, but I mean, after all, it's only 2 weeks out of the 17 games that they play. It's just like, there's some concern. I want to say that. Like, you're starting to see who potentially could be the real contenders, and then you're looking at the teams that you expect to be contenders, which still very might be contenders. They're just not playing up to their sort of, I guess, what you expected them to play up to, right? And like, you just I mean, again, I don't want to like overreact too much, because again, last week we sort of went over and talked about the overreactions and whether or not it's an overreaction, underreaction. Sort of, we're not going to necessarily do the exact same thing, but we're going to be more dissect individual teams in this episode, right? And I want to hear what you have to say before we jump everything into. But there are, at least I think there are a couple of teams that I'm starting to think like, okay, hey, they're probably not the contender that I thought they would be.
Or even they haven't taken the jump that maybe, yes, I thought they would.
Yeah.
There are a couple teams that really would have liked to have these first 2 weeks back. And I know it's early, right? It's September, and we always talk about, yeah, call me in December and call me in January when the games start to really matter. And we've seen it in the past. Some teams get off to slow starts. As the season goes on, as the weather gets colder, they start to play their best football. But being 2-0 or being 1-1 or being 0-2, it has a lot of meaning. And I have the numbers right here. This is from Underdog NFL on Twitter. Since 1990, teams that start 2-0 make the playoffs 63.8% of the time. Very, very favorable. That's where you want to be. Teams that are 1-1 make the playoffs 41.8% of the time. Fitting, you know, 1-1. You've had some good, you've had some bad. It's still really anyone's game at that point. Teams that are 0-2 make the playoffs just 11.5% of the time, which is a staggering number. And in fact, since the NFL has adjusted to the extra wildcard team, which now has 7 teams in each conference making the playoffs, there have been 23 teams that have begun the season 0-2, and only the Bengals have made the playoffs, and that was in 2000. That was last year. They were 0-2 last year, and they're 0-2 this year.
Yeah, I remember last year because they lost that second game to Cooper Rush.
Yeah,
and the Cowboys. I do remember that game. Which, I mean, if you want to talk Bengals, we can just sort of jump into exactly what we're going to talk about. There's two pretty big elephants in the room, I guess you can say, when it comes to the Los Angeles Chargers and the Cincinnati Bengals, who by majority of people, including ourselves, this offseason expected both these teams to sort of be in the upper echelon of AFC teams, right? Now, they very well might still be, but after 2 weeks, they find themselves both sitting without a win, both 0-2, both suffering some pretty ugly losses, some close losses, but losses where you expect good teams to come out on top from, right? And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case for both these teams. And it leads us to sort of ask the question, which 0-2 team, either the Bengals or the Chargers, are you most worried about?
I think it's a slam dunk easy answer. I mean, it's the Los Angeles Chargers. If you look at the Bengals, yes, they're 0-2. One, they've been here before and they've showed me they can rebound. Two, Joe Burrow has looked horrible, and you can kind of excuse that to he didn't have an offseason, he's dealing with an injury. They just look a little bit rusty on offense. I have my legit concerns with the Bengals' defense, particularly with the defensive line that just has been absent in the first 2 weeks. But if you look at the Los Angeles Chargers, Justin Herbert is playing at a very high level right now. He has not turned the ball over through two games. He's been consistently passing for 250-plus yards. It's mind-boggling that they continue to have a very efficient offense and be able to freely move the ball, and they can't win football games. The defense continues to be the Achilles heel of this team, but they have a defensive coach in Brandon Staley. So I'm not really understanding what is going to change with this Chargers team, whereas with the Bengals, I can see them consistently improving and getting better as the weeks go on and all being okay. But with the Chargers, to me, they're playing near their best football. And what have we learned from the Los Angeles Chargers in recent years? When it comes to one possession, one score games, they're outcoached, and they often lose. So I have my legitimate concerns with this Chargers team, long-term, short-term. And I don't think it's as much of a fluke that they're sitting at 0-2, despite them losing two very close games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard for me to disagree with everything that you said there, despite me actually saying that I as crazy as it is, as big of a Bengals guy I am, and I mean, with all due respect, I have my concerns with both these teams, but I want to, if when it comes to who am I a little bit more worried about, the edge goes to the Bengals, and I mean, look, I agree with everything you said about the Chargers. Like, when it comes to close games, Staley just, it's more often than not he's getting out-coached. I mean, Justin Herbert is, like you mentioned, playing lights out, and they're 0-2, right? It's like, and if he's not going to play like this forever, right? And even if he does, they're still 0-2. They can't win when he's playing out of his mind. Austin Eckler, as good as he is, he's injury-prone. So they have their concerns. But when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, who are now chasing the Baltimore Ravens, who just, they have the tiebreaker, essentially, they still have to play again, but they beat Cincinnati now on the road, and they're off to a 2-0 start. Cincinnati's off to an 0-2 start. Joe Burrow just reactivated his calf injury, so who knows how that's going to linger, and if he's even going to play next week, or how, if he misses next week, is he going to be out long-term, or even if he plays next week, this is an injury that could linger, clearly. Ja'Marr Chase just hasn't been able to get it on the road. Now, I mean, look, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, those guys have been doing it for years. I'm sure their connection will be back. They're going to be that team that I expect them to be. Now, the reason why I'm worried about them, I'm talking about winning that division, right? As I know it's still early, but the Ravens don't look like they're going to be slowing down. And the Bengals just seem like too much is going wrong at the wrong time. Now, they're still, like you mentioned, the only team to turn around an 0-2 start is the Cincinnati Bengals. And ironically, that was last year. So pretty much a year later, they find themselves in the same spot. So this is a team that can overcome that. Now, I feel like the circumstances are a little bit different this year because, like I mentioned, Joe Burrow's injury, just the Ravens off to a hot start. Now they're finding themselves chasing a 2-0 team sitting at 0-2. As opposed to the Chargers, on the other hand, sure, they're chasing the Chiefs, who are still one of the, if not the best team in the league. But the Chiefs are 1-1, right? So, like, there's still, I mean, it's, again, it's only a difference between a game, right? We're talking 2-0, 0-2, what's 1-1 to 0-2. But I just think things are trending in the wrong direction, and things will get a little bit worse for the Bengals before they get better, right? As opposed to the Chargers, I don't know. Like, Herbert has the ability to carry a football team, and we've seen him do it before. I mean, he's got to overcome more than the Bengals because his head coach just seems to be, you know what I mean? I don't want to use a harsh word to describe him, but he's not the greatest, right? And it seems like the Chargers fans, like you mentioned, whenever it's a close game, there's pretty much a couple guarantees in life, right? Death, taxes, and the Chargers losing one score games.
I don't think you could say much better than that. And the Bengals worry me a little bit in the sense that, like, yeah, they were here last year. Yeah, they did it. But they obviously don't want to be here. And it's like, how many times can you play that game and still come back? And they went on this crazy run to end the season. I think if you include the playoffs, they won like 11 games in a row up until that AFC Championship game. And that was also very, very winnable if we remember how that ended. But I think a lot of us forget that they probably benefited a lot from Lamar Jackson going down and the Ravens really losing a lot of steam. The Steelers were off to a very slow start in that division last year. Deshaun Watson was suspended for the majority of the season. It's a different AFC North now, and I think that division is not going to be a cakewalk, whereas the Chargers can potentially, you know, pick up some wins here and there against the Raiders and the Broncos, and, I mean, the Chiefs, I know, you know, they got back in the win column, so I'm not giving out free wins against the Chiefs. So a little bit of devil's advocate. I think the point we want to get across here is it's not great to be 0-2.
No,
we're kind of worried about both teams here.
No, I mean, it's definitely not. Like you mentioned, it's as everyone, I'm sure if it was your team, if it was the Dolphins or the Cowboys sitting at 0-2, we'd be like, oh, it's still early, right? Which it is, but the numbers don't lie. 11% of teams to make the playoffs start starting 0-2 is not a favorable number, right? So the odds are definitely against you. Now, it's not impossible. Those odds aren't zero. And if there's teams that can turn it around, we're probably looking at two of them that got the ability to. But as of right now, I think it's fair to say that both these teams have serious concerns. And if we don't see an immediate turnaround, we're talking in the next couple of weeks, they might be a team where you start to push the panic button on.
Yeah.
And speaking of panic buttons, we're going to play a little game called the hurry up, yeah. Right? Similar to what we did last week. For those that watched last week's episode, we did the whole overreaction thing where we went through some reactions and of week one play, and we deemed it whether it's an overreaction or
buy, sell, or hold.
Pretty much, we'll bring that back
for sure.
I thought it was fun.
We're bringing the segments here in season three this year, and yeah, like you said, the hurry up. We'll try to do a rapid fire, even though we both love to ramble. That's hence the podcast. Kind of just sit here, turn on the mics, and have at it. But we'll try to keep it quick. We got like six things to run through over here. But you mentioned the word panic button. And the first little prompt we're going to go through is, who are you already pushing the panic button on through 2 weeks of the season?
I'm selling all my shares. I know I just said it 2 weeks ago when I took them on our points bet segment. The Denver Broncos, I can't believe they let me down. I thought they were back. Russell Wilson, I said he was back on this show. It's all a fraud. They're toast. I'm selling all my Denver Broncos stock. It's game over for them. 21-3, lost my Survivor entry.
You picked them in Survivor?
Yes, I did. I have a multiple entries, but I needed a long shot. Not necessarily a long shot. That was calculated risk. They were up 21-3 at home. You know, like, come on. You can't even keep the streak alive. 52-13 and whatever it was. You can't do it. I'm off Denver Broncos. I'm pushing the panic button. If there's a panic button right here, I'm slamming it down. Denver Broncos, I'm off.
I remember at this time last year when the Broncos were 0-2 with Hackett, I was like, I'm starting to panic, but listen, who am I to say he's a professional head coach? Yeah, he looks lost, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm starting to panic. I kind of was like that. And then quickly I was like, yeah, this guy's lost. So maybe I should be a little more like eager to jump to conclusions, because last year that gut feeling I had with the Broncos was right. I'm starting to kind of get it again. Maybe Russell Wilson's best days are behind him. But honestly, in their first two games, they put together a good first half.
They
both
did.
Weeks.
They just can't string together this whole game.
They've fallen asleep. So it's fitting that, of course, they play my Miami Dolphins this week. So I'm getting nervous with how bad the Broncos have been, especially when you're writing them off like that. Anyways, like I said, we're trying not to get sidetracked, and we do exactly that. I'm slamming the panic button on the Chicago Bears, particularly Justin Fields. I'm going to sound so like reactionary after one game here. But there was some film against the Buccaneers that for me was just very, very difficult to unsee. The pocket presence, the ability to pass the ball down the field. If you look at Fields' numbers in his career in Chicago, he started 27 games now. The Bears are 5-22 in those games. He's never thrown for 300 yards. He's averaging 150 passing yards a game. He's barely got more passing touchdowns than he does interceptions. And the offense just doesn't put up big numbers with him. He had a ton of success last year on a ton of design runs. They have not done that at all this year. I think he has 13 carries through 2 weeks. It's just starting to get to the point where it's like, how much longer can we defend this guy? And Chicago's 0-2. Can you tell me one positive? Like, literally one positive that you can take away from this team so far? They invested in O-line. They invested in weapons. They were supposed to revamp the defense. Nothing has worked at all.
It's just like they lack a presence on the field. You know what I mean? Like, when you watch a team, even if they're a bad football team, because let's be real, Chicago's not good. But if they have a quarterback that is capable of doing good things, that quarterback like almost has a presence that you're able to sense through the field. You're like, okay, I know Chicago's going to probably lose this game, but I want to watch said player. And I think Fields is starting to become, again, I'm not going to write him off because I still think he's capable and he has potential, but it seems like as the weeks go on, he's almost better, like just a better like fantasy guy as opposed to actual NFL quarterback. Because sure, yeah, if you just want to watch your fantasy box scores, he'll put up a lot of rushing yards and he'll probably get you 15 fantasy points, 17 fantasy points, whatever it is. But when you watch on the TV and you watch with your eyes, he just lacks a presence. And he doesn't have, you know the good old saying, the eye test? It's more often than not, you're starting to see when it comes to quarterback components, not just athletic traits, more often than not, Justin Fields fails the eye test. And it's unfortunate because a guy that has that upside from an athletic standpoint, to see it sort of crumble is obviously not the sight you want to see. I'm not pushing the panic button on, but I'm not going to sit here and fight you and defend why you shouldn't be pushing the panic button.
I'm pushing the panic button. I'm not ready to like call for like, to me, he absolutely deserves the season. Like
And I think that's going to happen regardless, whether he deserves it or not.
Like, he needs to play. He needs to try and get better. The team needs to gel. I will say this about Fields. I did think he got a lot better last year as the season went on. There was a time early on in the season where we're like, this guy can't throw the ball. They're not pushing the ball down the field. And as the year went on, he started to use his legs a little bit more. They had more success. So maybe they can start to turn it around. To me, Tampa at home is probably one of your easier games all season. Or was it in Tampa this week? It was in Tampa. Sorry, excuse me. Tampa on the road. Still, a very winnable game. They had Green Bay at home the week before. That's what I was thinking of. Another pretty winnable game going up against an inexperienced quarterback like Jordan Love, but you're sitting at 0-2, not a ton of positives to take away. And those are our panic buttons so far. We'll move on to our next prompt over here. Which team has swayed your original opinion? So the opinion you had on them going into the season, which team has swayed that opinion the most?
It brings me great joy to say this team because my guy Baker Mayfield is at the helm. Wow. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think I picked them to have like 3 or 4 wins, and they already got half of them. So, I mean, everyone knows if you've been listening to this show, if you've been following us for a while, you know how big of a Baker guy I am. And, I mean, mind you, I'm over the whole franchise guy, but it's awesome to see him find a spot and play well. I like watching him play football. I think he's a good quarterback. I like what he stands for. I just like his game. I've always liked it, dating back to his Oklahoma days, clearly. And seeing him have fun again, it's exciting to me. And I mean, watching Tampa Bay be 2-0 right now, it's something that I didn't see coming. I thought this was going to be one of the worst teams in the whole league. A team that could be potentially picking number one. Now, I mean, the whole season can flip on its head in a matter of seconds. But up until now, they've definitely swayed my original opinion. I think this is a team that is in the conversation for a division that's pretty much wide open, right? Like, there's not many good teams in that division. So
I mean, we're watching two of them tonight,
right? And it's not looking too good. It's
terrible.
So, I love it. I love what I'm seeing with Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they've definitely switched my original opinion, which was, I believe, don't quote me, I mean, I know for a fact I didn't give them more than 4 wins, so it was either 3 or 4 wins.
I think it was 4-13.
Right? I think so. Halfway through.
Yeah, they are halfway through, and they have some, they're going to be in some winnable games.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of into Baker. He's a good story. He's a fighter. Plays with a lot of tenacity. But I'm going to give some love to another quarterback that I think resembles some of those traits as well. Has a little bit more talent, a little bit more lead upside. The Los Angeles Rams, they were a mystery box coming into the season. But Matthew Stafford looks back. Sean McVay looks like he's doing his best stuff again. Puka Nacua, did anyone know who that was 3 weeks ago? Because I didn't. I'm not ashamed to admit it. The defense seemed like, you know, a ton of nobodies, and they've played pretty respectable so far. I know they're 1-1. They had a tough game against who I think is the best team in the NFL and the 49ers this week. They covered the spread. They were close. They were actually leading at one point, you know, a decent chunk of the way into the game. So for me, what the Rams are doing is very impressive. And if Stafford continues to play at a high level, they're going to continue to win games. And that's really swayed my expectations of them that I originally had going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those teams where, I actually, you know what? You got to give yourself some praises, because you sat here on the show when I was trying to tell you that the Rams would be bad. You sat here and you said, if Matthew Stafford is healthy, this will be a team that is good. You did.
People
ripped
me for that too.
You did. You did. You said it. I know for a fact you said it, because I didn't believe it. I didn't see it with this team. I thought, look, Stafford's good, but I didn't think he was. I mean, no, not to say that he's not anything special. I just didn't think Stafford was like an elite level guy, which I don't even know if he is anymore. But it doesn't matter, because they're clearly still highly, highly coached. Coached at a very high level. They still get Aaron Donald, even though they got rid of Jalen Ramsey and Bobby Wagner and a couple other guys that are big name players. And they don't have Cooper Kupp. They have a rookie sensation that we'll talk about later on the show, but. This is a team that definitely deserves their flowers, and I mean, they could have won, and they could have been an answer for me too. But it's hard to pick between both those teams. I think they're both good answers, and I think a lot of people, if you're not a Tampa Bay fan or an LA Rams fan, I guarantee 90% of you guys probably had both these teams doing way worse than what they're currently projected to, given their pretty solid starts to the season.
Absolutely, and I mean, we've both been sort of on this train all year that the NFC is pretty, pretty wide open, and if these teams can continue to perform at this level, they're going to be playing meaningful football in late November and early December, like no question about it. So we'll continue to monitor that with a couple of these underdogs. We'll move along over here. Next up, who is your early crown for best team? I sort of alluded to this when I was talking about the Rams, but go ahead. Who's been the best team so far for you?
It's crazy, because when you look at the conferences, I think it's pretty easily to say that the AFC conference as a whole is better than the NFC conference, which, I mean, it's not a hot take. You just look at the depth of teams and the skill level on those teams, and I think it's fair to say that the AFC has more talented teams than the NFC, right? There's a lot of teams in the NFC that are rebuilding, and they're just not there yet. I suppose the AFC looks like it's going to be a battle right to the end. But with that being said, I think the best team, or I have 1A and 1B here because I can't pick between them. I think they are currently both in the NFC. I think the two best rosters and best teams in terms of depth, talent, and just on-field production are the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. And it's hard for me to say any other team through 2 weeks, because I watch these teams and it's just like they're just deep, you know? And a football team is made up of 53 active guys on every Sunday. And it feels like this Cowboy team and this San Francisco 49ers team, and I don't want to discredit the Eagles completely, but they're definitely not off to the start. Despite being 2-0, they're not off to the start that many expected them to be, right? You look at their roster record, 2-0, sure, but the games didn't necessarily feel as dominant of victories as Eagles football typically is. And I know you're comparing them. It's unfair to compare them to what they did last year, because last year was such a fantastic season. So I don't want to discredit them, but I don't think they're in the conversation right now. Now, this could change in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but I think the two best teams, if we're talking about a crown right now, 2 weeks in, I think it's hard to give it to anyone other than these two teams. Now, both these teams play together, play each other soon. I think it's in 3 weeks, October 7th or 8th, I believe they play on Sunday Night Football. So that's going to be a fantastic game. Like, both those teams could be realistically 4-0 going into that game, or 5-0, whatever it would be. But I think right now, if we're talking who is the crown for the best team in the league, it's probably one or the other.
Yeah, I have the 49ers down here, but I'm not going to say you're wrong for saying the Cowboys, because they've waxed the Giants, they've waxed the Jets, and you can say, oh, they haven't played anyone good, but they've been destroying, like absolutely dismantling the competition. What did they win, 40 nothing and 30-10? Is that what the scores have been? Like, they're clearly on another level right now. The defense has been killing it. In week one, the offense wasn't asked to do anything, but I thought the offense was very, very good on Sunday. So I'm glad you brought those teams up, because when you started your spiel about the AFC, I thought you were going to say the Dolphins are the best team in the NFL, and I was going to disagree with you. I was going to give pushback on the Dolphins being the best team in the NFL, and I'm glad you didn't make me do that. But yeah, so far through this point, you can't see the Chiefs. There's pure questions there. It's really these two teams, and even the Eagles, they have not looked as good, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I think. And everyone's pointing to Jalen Hurts and his numbers, but I think it's the defense right now that has not looked quite the same in Philadelphia. One more. Let me see. What are we doing over here? We just did the best team?
Yeah, rookie.
Okay, yes, rookie. Which rookie has impressed you the most so far this season?
I'm going to have to say Puka Nacua. It's again, I knew who he was coming out of BYU. I remember watching him.
What round was he drafted in?
Third.
He was that high.
I believe. You know what? I'm gonna fact check that.
Now I'm embarrassed that I said I don't know who he was.
No, but you're not the NFL draft guy. No, fifth round. Okay, pick 177.
Because I usually know all the players in the first three rounds. It's the first 2 days. By day three of the draft, I'm tired. I don't wanna watch the draft anymore.
Fair enough. But like the fact that, I mean, this is no fluke, right?
Fluka Nacua.
Fluka Nacua.
No, he's not. He's
amazing. He ain't no fluke. And you know what? I'm going to tell you a little side story here. I don't want to get too sidetracked. It'll take about 20 seconds. I'm in a fantasy football league where you have 220 free agency budget. The free agency budget is 200. Fab money. And you have it throughout the full season, right? It's an auction draft, so I misplayed my cards, and I only landed my wide receiver three is Jacoby Myers, right?
Yeah.
So I was sort of back into a corner here, and I put all my money on the first week on Puka Nacua. I put $220 on Puka Nacua, and now I'm sitting 2-0 right now. I'm 2-0. I know I didn't win because of him the first week, but he put another 22 points up, and I got him, Christian Watson. Christian Watson hasn't played yet, but I got CeeDee Lamb. I like my wide receiver core. And for those that are playing fantasy football that have free agency budget, I'm telling you, spend it all early. It doesn't matter. That means nothing. You can pick up a guy for free. But Puka Nacua has to be which rookie? I think he could just be who has impressed you the most in general. Like, this guy is a freak show, right? The most receptions out of a player's first two games. He's got 25 in his first two games. He literally looks like Cooper Kupp.
I was gonna ask you, what are you gonna do when Cooper
Kupp comes back? Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you have another Cooper Kupp. So like, I don't know. The dynamic on that side of things is gonna be crazy to see when it comes back. But heck, why not have two of them, right? Imagine defense have to game plan for two Cooper Kupps. I mean, that's easily the most impressive rookie. I don't think it's really close, to be honest.
I'm going to give more love to Matt Stafford, not to call him Tunnel Vision Stafford, but I did read a tweet about how he's literally responsible for all the greatest wide receiver seasons in NFL history. He was with Megatron when he broke the record. Cooper Kupp, when he won the Triple Crown, one of the best receiver seasons ever.
He had a great year with Kenny Golladay.
He was a top 10 receiver. I feel like I'm missing another example. I read it in a tweet about Matthew Stafford, and now he's doing it with Puka Nacua. So maybe a lesson down the road, if Stafford ever changes teams, just take the wide receiver one of that team in fantasy, and he's going to be the best player, best draft pick you've ever made. I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball for which rookie has impressed me the most. Jalen Carter. I think when he was drafted, it didn't take a genius to know that the Eagles just got a very, very special player at a bargain of a draft pick. But through 2 weeks, and this is amongst all players, not just rookies, he has 11 pressures and 10 hurries. That's the most hurries in the NFL and the third most pressures amongst all players. And this is a guy, he's a defensive tackle. He's not coming off the edge.
Yeah.
Like, that is incredible what he's doing. And to do it, like, right out of the gates, very, very impressive stuff from Jalen Carter. And I know Javon Hargrave is wearing a 49ers uniform, but the way Carter's playing, the Eagles are not missing him at all because he's just been so good so far.
Well, I mean, just to give out a little shout-out to our friend Matt Miller over at ESPN, we did a pre-draft show with him now months back, but he even told us, he said, this guy has no business getting drafted anywhere close to, like, number 10 because he's that good of a player. I always knew he was amazing, but seeing it firsthand and, like, I have no clue how this guy got to number 9. I know he had his concerns off the field, but he is such a high-level talent, and the fact that he's literally 2 games into his career and he's already putting up upper echelon at his position numbers is, like, remarkable, right? And it's crazy to watch. You, like, see how... And I know the Eagles defense as a whole hasn't been the greatest, but it's impossible not to notice what he's doing because he's, first off, huge. He's massive. And he is, like, just creating so much mayhem at the line of scrimmage. And you notice it in both games against New England and against Minnesota on Thursday night. I could not stop noticing Jalen Carter and just his ability to consistently just create ruckus. And I think that's exactly what you need out of a defensive tackle. If you want your defensive tackle to be up top and be elite, you got to create havoc at the line of scrimmage and you got to get pressure. And the fact that he's doing both at an extremely high level this early on in his career and in the year in general is remarkable. And the Eagles, I mean, it felt like almost a shoe-in as the, okay, this guy's going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, and I think he's truly running away with it.
I think we both picked him in our season prediction show, and
it feels like a boring pick.
Kind of like, oh, this is boring, but like, he's gonna win.
Yeah, I know he's going to. And like, this is purely like a health stamp, like bet. Like, if he stays healthy, like, there's nobody that's gonna even challenge him for that award.
All right, let's move on to a segment that has been absolutely red hot. I think we've been dishing out some pretty good picks here in our start sits. And once again, this segment is powered by our good friends over at Did It. If you are looking for raw, authentic, one-on-one, personalized fantasy advice, download the Did It app today and chat with an expert live. And
chat with myself.
Yeah,
chat with this guy. I'm on that app. If you want a one-on-one fantasy advice, FaceTime with me, you could come on over, Did It app, one-on-one FaceTime call with me. I mean, look, it's easy, right? You just FaceTime me. I help you out with your fantasy questions, start sits. I know Pac calls me all the time,
my team's,
right? He calls me all the time. His team's lost. I'm sure your teams are better than his. But if you want to chat with experts like myself on Did It, download the app, and it's easy. It's sign up for free, and you can chat with all sorts of experts, one-on-one, live, and it's really, there's nothing like it. There's really nothing like that. It's authentic and raw fantasy help. You don't get that anywhere else. So download Did It, and let's jump right into our starts and sits.
I just want to give another precursor, because we do talk about how I'm terrible at fantasy football, but I've been managing to give out great advice on this segment every week, and it's not because I don't know who to start and sit every week. It's because I can't draft. I don't know what happened to me. I used to be this brilliant mind. I was this young protege. If I can compare myself to like an NFL prospect, you know who I am? I'm Bo Callahan, not even a real player. It's a draft day movie reference, but I can't draft. My team's terrible, but I got good advice. And with that, I'm just going to jump into my first start of the week. Give me Sky Moore going up against the Bears. Everyone laughed at me when I drafted this guy, especially after week one. He had a really tough outing. But I think last week against the Jaguars, he showed he can be Mahomes' number one target. Didn't get a ton of touches, but was very efficient with the ball and found the end zone. going up against a very, very weak Bears team. I mean, I saw Jaquan Brisker go down too with an injury last week. Not sure what his status is going to be like going into Sunday. But Sky Moore against a bad defense in a game that I think could go out of hand. Mahomes is going to want to build the confidence of his young receivers, get a ton of these guys involved, get them their touches. And I honestly think the Chiefs are going to blow the house off against the Bears.
Yeah, so I want everything. I want every little bit of that Chiefs offense. Yeah.
So give me Sky Moore. Start him in your lineup this week.
I like it. I'm going to go with Jordan Addison, the USC rookie. I love it. His role is really starting to expand. I mean, you saw him really not touch the ball a whole lot on Thursday night. But what stood out to me the most is that when the game was on the line, they needed a big play. Kirk went to him. And that shows a lot with a team that has Justin Jefferson sort of lining up across from him, which, again, is so good for fantasy because where you drafted this guy, you drafted him as most likely a bench starter or whatever, right? Like, you're not going to start him every single week, but he's going to be a guy that you can sort of plug in and play out of that flex spot. And I think he's going to be a pretty solid flex play this week. I think lining up alongside Jefferson, the opportunity is there, and Kirk trusts him. And you're seeing his role start to increase week by week. And I think you're going to see another big week from him. So I'm rolling Jordan Addison as a flex with a lot of confidence this week. I think he's a very, very solid play.
I like it. I mean, I don't like it because I'm a Justin Jefferson owner.
Jefferson's still going to do
his thing. Of course, but I mean, last week Kirk threw 4 touchdowns. Jefferson didn't get any of them. I mean, guys got guys like KJ Osborne, TJ Hawkinson, Jordan. Everyone's eating in that Vikings offense. Jefferson can't get in the end zone. I think he's going to do it this week, but obviously he's like a shoe-in start. You start him every week. On to the sits, and I think this is a bit more of a difficult decision every week. I have a bit of a hot take with mine because he's a player that has been drafted pretty highly, but I'm going to go over to Ramondre Stevenson. And New England has had a very, very weird start to the year. They've been throwing the ball much more than I've expected. Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott came over, but he hasn't really eaten a ton of Ramondre's touches. They just haven't used Ramondre enough. And he also hasn't been very efficient on those touches. In week one, he had 12 carries for less than 30 yards. Last night, he had 15 carries for about 50 yards. Yeah, he got in the end zone, but he's just really lacked that burst. The New England offensive line in the run game has not been able to create holes for their runners. I would approach with caution for someone like Ramondre. Maybe try and move him, even though you're not going to get much value for him right now. I'm just not really sold on the prospect of him being a week in and week out, you know, fantasy horse that can carry your team to a championship.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit of a tough one to swallow because where he was drafted in most leagues.
Yes.
But I don't think it's going to be as tough as to swallow as my sit this week. I'm going to go with Garrett Wilson.
Okay,
drafted him in a ton of leagues. He actually got drafted in one of my leagues at 6th overall. I know it's high for Garrett Wilson, but that just goes to show you what was expected of him. Obviously, a lot of that was beyond his control with the injury of Aaron Rodgers. And now he's unfortunately dealing with Zach Wilson, who is just not Aaron Rodgers, right? Yeah. And I mean, it's not a hot take.
He's anything but that.
Right? He's anything but that. And outside of his 68-yard touchdown, he had one catch for 15 yards. And in a game that was relatively blown open, you expected even to him to stat pad just a little bit more, right? With the garbage time and off coverage defensive looks that they were getting from the Cowboys. And it's just, now you look on paper, it's a difficult matchup because you've got the Patriots defense, which they're clearly going to be game planning for him. And again, it goes back to Zach Wilson, just scares me. And it's unfortunate because you draft Garrett Wilson to be that alpha one, and unfortunately, he's just not going to be that anymore, given the massive injury that he had to his starting quarterback. I don't recommend, and I'm not personally starting Garrett Wilson in any of my leagues. I don't want him, and I think I want him like 4 or 5. So this is coming from someone that's doing it personal. I'm not just speaking, you know, out of the clouds, but I'm going to be sitting Garrett Wilson with some confidence this week.
That's a tough one to swallow, especially considering the investment. But I am terrified of the prospect of what Bill Belichick is going to do to Zach Wilson, because I know that the Patriots lost last night, but I was incredibly impressed with how they played the Dolphins offense. gave him three safeties. It really, really limited Tua's ability to find Tyreek and Waddle over the middle of the field. And as a result, they didn't have the greatest fantasy games. So Zach Wilson versus that Patriots defense. I am scared for the New York Jets. But with that, we will get into week three, get into our locks. And I answered the bell this week because I was 0-2 in week one and I was embarrassed to come and sit here and do this show. And I responded, 2-0 week, a 2-0 week. I told you all, take the Packers. They barely covered. They lost by 1 point. I think I got them at +1.5. Barely covered. Told you all, take the Dolphins.
I took a money line. I didn't listen.
Yeah. Told you all, take the Dolphins. Oh, by the way, how did your locks do on Instagram? Because I know you're 4-1 in week one.
I won 1-4 this week.
No way.
Yeah. So I basically mirrored myself this week. Because the Packers let me down. The Broncos let me down. We were looking great. They were looking fantastic. Yeah, the
were looking great. Who else
both were looking fantastic. And then I took Jamar Chase anytime. Didn't hit. And then I took one. Oh, the under in the Cowboys game.
You know, over.
I missed by 1.5 points because it was 40 total points. There was 40 total points. I got it at 38.5. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but I had a pretty solid week too. 1-1. The Broncos screwed me in this too. I was all in on the Broncos. That's why I'm all out. I'm telling you, it's personal now, Denver. It's personal. You think you guys there watching think we're Raiders haters? Just wait. It's personal. Denver Broncos, it is personal. This week, I'm not letting it slide. I'm going to be in the opposing side. I might even start cheering for the Raiders when they play now.
I don't know why you ever thought the Broncos. I haven't said a nice thing about the Broncos, I think, since Peyton Manning was quarterback. I don't know why you thought they were going to be good this year. I was definitely not on that train. But a 2-0 week for me. I was on the Packers and the Dolphins. You were 1-1 on the locks.
Yep.
Who were you on again?
I was on the Vikings +7.5, which was
backdoor cover.
Backdoor cover. Barely, I love that.
Barely
love that. King Kirk, the king of the backdoor covers.
You know, everyone rips Kirk on primetime for his record.
He's a backdoor cover king.
Against the spread on primetime, he is like money.
I know.
I don't want to misquote the record. For some reason, the numbers like 12-2 are sitting in my head. I don't think that's right, but it's somewhere along those lines where he's just like absolute money in primetime and covering the spread, even though they don't win. But yeah, you barely squeaked that out. You're 1-1. I was 2-0, which means we are now both tied at 2-2 on the season. And once again, this segment is sponsored by our good friends over at PointsBet. Use code BLITZ when registering. And let's get into week three. You have the first pick this week, sir.
I'm going to go with the Lions, -3, coming off a brutal loss. Unfortunately, the blue ski mask party was ruined by Geno Smith and the Seahawks. But the Lions are going to bounce back this week. Give me the 3 points. I think they win comfortably at home against this Falcons team that, to me, just looks pretty average.
I think the Falcons will be a great team at home.
Yes.
They have a great defense. The offense is a disaster, yes, aside from Bijan Robinson.
It just looks bland. Like when I watch the Falcons, they look bland. I don't think they're there yet. I think the Lions, this is a perfect bounce back spot for the Lions. I think they're at home again. I mean, like, it's, again, they're a good team. Detroit's a good team. Are they a great team? Probably not. But they're at home coming off a tough loss. I'm going to take the field goal spread here with confidence. I think they're going to win by maybe a touchdown, a little bit more. I am comfortable with taking the Lions at -3.
I think I had a 10-minute rant just last week on why the Falcons are just make me want to pull all my hair out. So I'm going to side with you. Obviously, I can't take them, but I do like that pick. I'm going to stick with a team that is near and dear to my heart with my first pick. I'm going to roll with the Miami Dolphins, and they're playing against your Denver Broncos. But the reason I'm taking the Dolphins is, one, they're 2-0 against the spread this year. They look phenomenal. In week one, we saw how good the offense can be. In week two, we saw how good the defense can be. They are finally going to put it together in their home opener. They're 6.5-point favorites. But most importantly, I will be in the building for this game. And I was there last year in week three, and they had a big, big win over the Buffalo Bills. I'm hoping they can keep it rolling with me there. So I know that is a terrible, terrible reasoning for taking a team, but I'm going to do it anyways. I actually do feel very good about the pick, though. One touchdown at home. A game that I can see getting out of hand with how well the Dolphins are playing and how poor the Broncos are playing. Give me the Fins, -6.5.
This is turning into the Homer locks of sponsored by
and
Points.
Maybe
Bet.
That's why we're just both 500. But it's still early. It's still early, and 500 is not a bad place to be.
because I'm taking the Cowboys 12.5 spread on the road against Arizona. I'm telling you. I was hesitant to taking the under here at 43.5 because I think the Cowboys are just going to be the only team to score in this game. I don't know how Josh Dobbs is going to score on this defense.
You don't believe in the Pastronaut, eh?
No, I don't. That's a good name. Yeah. Is that his nickname?
Because he's like an aerospace engineer.
I had no idea that was Nick. No, that's a great name.
I don't know where I saw that.
Now that might not make me change my pick.
Yeah, the Pastronaut.
The Pastronaut. That's a fantastic name. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know how Josh Dobbs is going to score on this defense. I think it's going to be extremely one-sided. Who knows? Maybe they come out with the pew, 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 the guns. Maybe. You never know, right? Maybe. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to take the team here that looks like to be one of the better teams in the league versus a team that looks to be one of the worst teams in the league. So hence the 12.5 spread, right? Now, could this get backdoor covered? Sure. But I'm willing to take the sort of cushion that I think the Cowboys could win this game by maybe more than 20 points. And sure, it's on the road. I don't think that matters too much. Controlled environment. It's inside of a dome. I think Dak should have his way with this Arizona defense that just isn't quite frankly that good. Buda Baker just got put in the IR. I'm going to take the Cowboys here with some confidence too. I'm feeling good with my picks here, Pac. I think I'm going to go 2-0. I don't know.
I just want to let you know that your Arizona Cardinals, you said, yeah, it's on the road. I want to pull up the exact stat because I know Arizona is the worst home team in maybe all of professional sports. They are 4-14 at home since 2021. And I know that last year when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, the Chiefs had won more games in that stadium that year than the Cardinals did because the Chiefs beat Arizona week one and then they won the Super Bowl there.
That's right.
So the Cardinals stink at home. But if there's one team that I would nominate, I know I talked about how the Rams changed my opinion on them earlier in the year. The Cardinals are 0-2. But they've been testy and they're fighting. Like it's kind of the perfect season so far because they've shown that, yeah, like we're kind of battling for this head coach. We're in games, we're competitive, but we're still going to lose enough to get Caleb Williams and maybe we even get Marvin Harrison Jr. too. So I don't know. The Cardinals are kind of like this funny story so far for me in this NFL season. But not to get sidetracked, I got one pick left. Once again, guys, these are the locks of the week powered by our friends over at PointsBet. Use code Blitz when you are signing up over there. I'm debating between two, and whenever I do this, I like to tell people which two they are. Just in case I'm wrong, I can be like, oh, but my other one was right, which is completely just being a coward, but whatever. That KC minus 13, I just laughed at you for taking such a big spread. It's speaking to me because the Bears are just such a disaster right now, and I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I'm going to dodge that, though, and I'm going to take in the battle of the 0-2 teams, the Los Angeles Chargers going up against the Minnesota Vikings, which I think is one of the most enticing matchups this week. I'm going to take the home team, the Minnesota Vikings, to win. I'm taking the coach that I like here. I'm taking the weapons group that I like here in Minnesota. Right now, Kirk Cousins is playing at a pretty high level. And I honestly don't know if Austin Eckler is going to be okay either. I read today that there is no timeline. So give me the Vikings in a pick 'em. I think the Vikings are still alive. I think they're still very, very much alive. And with the Chargers, I honestly think that seat is only going to warm up on Brandon Staley. And this would lead to more of that. And the fact that it's a pick 'em, can't say no.
On the topic of gambling, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea if you think the game would go that direction to take Brandon Staley to be the head coach fired, because there's something in me that I think that there's going to be a head coach that gets fired early on this year.
I think it's still too early.
I don't think so. I think the Chargers, they have Kellen Moore sitting on the sidelines there who could sort of step in as an interim head coach. I don't think he's ready for it, but I think if the Chargers start 0-3, I would not be shocked. If we're sitting here next week, Monday night, we're recording the show. You guys usually hear it on the Tuesday, but I would not be surprised if we're sitting here next week, which is what? So a week from September 18th would be
the 24th,
the 25th of September. And the Chargers, if the Chargers are 0-3, my bold prediction, I know it's not a bold prediction segment, but it's Brandon Staley will be fired by the time the next show comes out.
Wow. I mean, who knows? The Chargers have lost by what? 2 points, 3 points. Now they're a pick 'em. They're not an underdog. They're not a, like, I think technically the Vikings are the favorite. I think it's like minus 0.5 for the Vikings. Yeah, I think that like that's harsh. But at the end of the day, like this is a team that made Herbert the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I'm sure Staley's the odds leaders in a lot of different sports books.
I'm trying to find it, but I can't really find it. I'm sure you can get some solid odds for it. You'd have to check out a points bet, right? Yeah. You'd have to head over to the points bet. I mean, use code Blitz when signing up, and maybe you could dabble in that. It doesn't matter, you know. Maybe if you want to be sharp like I am, but yeah, sure, not many people.
Sure, but you are with your 1-4 week two locks, and your
You know, it is what it is. It's not. I ain't perfect. I know there's a lot of haters out there. I was reading those comments. They're nasty people out there, but. Again, keep betting against me. I'm like Baker Mayfield here.
Oh, boy.
That's Baker Mayfield.
You know it's time to end the show when you start going off on these Baker Mayfield rants. That's going to do it for today's episode. I think we're going to go finish up watching this Monday Night Football game.
Great game between the Browns and the Steelers.
I feel like the score has flipped quite a bit in the time that we've been recording.
Well, Pickens got a big touchdown. I saw that. Jerome Ford, he had like a broke out 70-yard run
and
he got down on the 1-yard line. You know, I'm just keeping up. I'm a multitasker.
Anyway,
right, we're gonna re-listen to the show. There's gonna be like, oh, I completely missed Poxita because I was watching the game.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, it is what it is.
We'll see you next week, guys. Thanks for tuning in and have a good one.
See you guys.